When I was growing up as a young boy, I grew up in a church tradition where, I don't recall any particular reference to, other than songs, something like that, but not, a reference to the Holy Spirit as a person, as something that's active that we can see, understand and know and is part of our lives, sort of thing. Okay, I just don't recall that sort of a thing, right? Then, when I was going to junior high and my family went through a pretty dramatic sort of a Holy Spirit conversion experience. My father, as I told you before, was miraculously saved, I would have to say. You know, and went from this culture where didn't particularly hear a lot about the Holy Spirit, you know, kind of, some good Lutheran folk, right? And that pendulum swung, folks, okay? That pendulum swung way over. And I'm in these prayer meetings and these church services where people are bursting into tongues, where people are falling over backwards and shaking all over the place. I mean, there's some crazy stuff going on. And I'm like, wow, right? But then, you know, it's weird, okay, but here we are, Acts chapter 2, and God's people are together, and there's this sound of rushing wind, and all of a sudden there's fire over people's heads, and people are speaking in other tongues, and then people are hearing their own languages, and okay, something's going on here. Now, there's a lot of mystery surrounding the work of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you know, kind of weird, kind of spooky. Maybe it doesn't help, you know, the King James says Holy Ghost, all right, maybe, whatever, you know, but it is this idea of Pentecost, this picture of God's Spirit and Jesus telling us that it's better that he goes away so the Spirit can come. There's something here for us. And in the scriptures today, we read five of them. A lot there. But like, I think in Ezekiel's prophecy, this picture of dry bones, I think we need to understand and see for us that picture that the Holy Spirit is life itself for us. He is our life. Should not downplay the role of Holy Spirit. As much as we pray to the Father in the name of the Son, we should acknowledge, understand that the role of the Spirit. And that's my goal for today in the just a lot of stuff that's here. To go over, what does the Holy Spirit do for us? What is this? What is it we can hold on to in the work of the Spirit in our lives? Now, the readings in this year's lectionary forms on this day of Pentecost, Sunday, kind of has a bit of emphasis on the Holy Spirit is truth. We saw that in the John reading. Holy Spirit is truth, guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit is so important in that role of truth for us that Jesus said it was better that he leaves so that the Holy Spirit could be here. I mentioned that. So, what is this truth? That's the first question I have. What do we think? What is truth? What is it guiding us into? You know, is it apologetics so that we know and understand and can argue the faith with the truth, right? Facts. So is it systematic theologies that we can know and understand and codify and order the whole complexities of God's word from Genesis to Revelation? Is it the idea of biblical inerrancy? That's truth. And so God's word is trusted as it's written. Is it the truth of the kingdom of God? And I believe that is what we're looking at here. When God speaks of leading us into the truth, it's the truth of the gospel. the truth of God's kingdom coming into the world, the truth of the work of Jesus in his life, death, and resurrection. It's a broad category truth of proclaiming and receiving the good news. And it's receiving for people to hear it and be convicted and come into the kingdom of God, and in the proclaiming of Christians, living Christian lives and showing the world this kingdom that has come. And so we again saw in Acts the setting of the sea, the Spirit coming in a dramatic way, wind, fire, tongues. And Peter then, you know, puts it in perspective for that, because people are, again, thinking this is weird, thinking they're drunk, thinking this is crazy. I understand that. But Peter puts it into a context of God's work and his plan all along. He references the prophet Joel, particularly the idea of the Spirit coming upon all people. Where's my Joel? Where is it? You know, the Spirit of all people, and that's a, as we spoke before, as we go through Mark, right? The idea of the gospel for everyone, that these barriers that Israel put up, you know, the barriers, the constrictions, the all these things, the rules, they're shattered. And God's Spirit is going to go upon all people. All people. That's amazing. Daughters, sons, young men, old men, servants, men and women. All these barriers, all these distinctions laid flat and gone with God's Spirit upon them. That should speak to us today. In a world that is so fragmented, that we are still fighting battles of gender and race in our world. There are places where slavery exists because of the color of someone's skin or not. There are places where women are treated as less than cattle in some cases. And God's Spirit, destroys those sorts of distinctions, and that's who we are. And we notice in that Joel passage that Peter turns it and shows us what it's really about. That's looking to the end when God, the great day of the Lord, and that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the end game. That's the power, the reason the Holy Spirit is here for us today. To proclaim that message and to allow people to hear that message. Which is that part of the Holy Spirit in receiving the gospel. The Holy Spirit, we see, expands the reach of the gospel. That was the picture, I think, an intention of all the languages to show that this is going to go out to everybody. That's not going to be restricted to this little geographical area, but literally around the world. You know, an embodied Jesus is, you know, was limited in some ways, right? I mean, I can say that fairly. I'm not saying Jesus was limited in any way. But an embodied person, bodied Jesus, could not be in two places at the same time. Well, you know, nothing's impossible with God. You know what I'm talking about here. We can get all philosophical about it. But the Spirit is everywhere. The Spirit is God, omniscient, omnipresent. And so we see these three things in the John passage. John, or Jesus, teaches us these things about the Spirit. Again, it's Spirit of truth to guide us. It's good that I'm going away. He calls this person the advocate. When the advocate, the counselor, these different terms to specify who the Holy Spirit is, he's going to send it to us. And when he comes, he will prove or he will convict the world. And there's three areas that John mentions that we want to understand today. In sin, in righteousness, and in judgment. The Holy Spirit will convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. And this is important to understand this. Now, it says first for sin in verse 9 of that passage, that because people do not believe. Now, either that's the sin, people don't believe, and that's the sin, or it's an example of sin that people don't believe. But the Holy Spirit in the world today, its role is to convict and open people's eyes to the facts that they are not believing, that their lives are not right. And that's wrong. These things are wrong. Not just behaviors, not specific acts necessarily, although it's true. But not believing, not understanding God, who He is and what He's done for you. That's the ultimate sin. That's the ultimate separation for us. As far as righteousness, righteousness comes from the work of Christ. Because I'm going to the Father. His death, His resurrection. That is the key. That is the doorway for us. To believe in Him. To understand that's what He did for us. To pledge allegiance to that work of Christ. That is the key to righteousness. And again, it's the Holy Spirit's work. It's the Spirit's work to convict and show us these things. And as far as judgment in verse 11, because the prince of the world now stands condemned. Satan is defeated. And that is the judgment that the prince of this world is defeated. And we can live in that. The Holy Spirit shows us that. When we say, how am I supposed to live in this world? How am I supposed to live in this culture? It's too much. It's too tempting. I cannot resist. And the Holy Spirit tells us, no. This world is defeated. That prince of the spirit of the air is defeated. And we can live in victory and not in judgment. There's justice in this world now. Because this foe is defeated. It is the Holy Spirit that does these things. Now, a mistake that we can make, and it's easy to do, is that we try to do these things. Right? We try to show people that they're sinners. We try to make them understand how unrighteous they are and that they need to be righteous. We try to tell them of judgment and the judgment that's upon them. Now, I'm not saying that we don't proclaim the good news, the gospel in its entirety, right? But our role, we cannot convict anybody of sin. We cannot make anybody understand judgment or righteousness. That is a spirit work. That's what Ezekiel showed us, dead bones, right? Is that not what Ephesians 2 tells us, that we are dead in our sins? But God, because and we're already dead, gave us life by His grace. That's the message of in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, by grace we are saved through faith. It's because we're already dead. We cannot help ourselves. God has to breathe life into us first before we can do a thing. Now, again, there's this mystery, and I'm usually okay with it, as we should be, of God's working and calling and the Spirit's work and then my volition, my will, and I understand that, right? But it seems pretty clear that throughout Scripture the picture is the Spirit does these things. So we shouldn't be surprised in our culture, in this world, although this prince of darkness is defeated, that we shouldn't be surprised when sinners sin. Right? That's what they do. I mean, I'm only slightly more surprised now when I sin, just because the Spirit's convicted me and pointed me in the right direction, right? I've someone does something stupid or sinful or immorality, whatever it is, it doesn't shock me the least. Of course. Now, I'm shocked by some things, the depravities of this world, but sinners sin. So our job in that is, We can tell them, yeah, this is wrong, but if the Holy Spirit's not there, it's not going to do anything. And so we should trust in God's grace in these things. You know, and I mention all this, not because, we should proclaim righteousness in our culture, right? We are salt and light in these things. But more and more and more in our polarized world, polarized in every way, culturally, politically, religiously, all these things, we're just really far apart on things and really strict on things. In this world of polarization, Christians more and more and more and more. When you read just the literature out there, the studies done, all these things, more and more Christians are seen as hateful, judgmental, uncaring, mean people. That's the reality. Not all. But there's a public perception in some circles that these things are true. And it breaks my heart. When I know so many who are not that, and yet perception may be there. And so our challenge is great. But we have the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1, when Jesus was leaving, he said, go and get ready because the Spirit will come in power. In power for you. We are able to handle this challenge. Just in light of this, as we are seeking the Spirit's guidance, that as we proclaim the gospel, as we are seeking to proclaim the gospel, the good news, that, again, it's always balance, there's always nuance. But maybe our presentation should be less about your sin and the result of that you're going to hell, and more about the Savior, more about the kingdom, that this is a better way to live. Right? I mean, I think I've always thought that's the best way to share the gospel. Someone in life and they're challenged and say, hey, you know what? There's a better way of living across the board. I mean, just everything about it is better the way God wants it, the way God intends it. There's abundance, there's joy, there's protection, there's confidence, there's perseverance. And in the end, we will be resurrected with God and escape a punishment in hell. But to call someone to come alongside and to experience the kingdom of God and have the Holy Spirit then open their eyes to sin and righteousness and judgment as they see our lives, as they see us living together, as they see our unselfishness, the Holy Spirit can show them their selfishness. When they see our righteousness, when they see our justice, the Spirit can convict and show them their unrighteousness and their injustices. When they see our kindness, our hospitality, our grace, the Holy Spirit then can show them their ungraciousness, their inhospitality. These are the things that God is working through the Spirit. Spirit does all of these things. But the Holy Spirit also then helps us in this proclaiming role. He came in power for us to have the power to witness. That's what Acts 1:8 tells us. Jesus says, power to witness to the world. The Holy Spirit is called an advocate, someone who comes alongside, who is part of the communication chain, so to speak, of Father and Son and Holy Spirit. The reading in Romans 8, right, tells us that when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit Himself is interceding for us and groaning to be the words. That's an amazing promise, people. That's the understanding the reality of the Spirit in our lives. That in our desperation, when we are maybe growing, we don't know what to pray. Lord, what is your will? What does he want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Who should I marry? Where should I go to school? What's going to happen with this sickness? What's going to happen with my family member? And we have no idea. That's fine. Because the Spirit, in direct line with Father and Jesus, is praying, interceding for us. I can't think of anything better, people. I really can't. That we can live our lives in such a way, in that kind of a confidence, that the Holy Spirit Himself, in perfect alignment with God's will, is praying for us as we need to be prayed for. It's a wonderful thing. And so I encourage you to pray. Pray, people. Let us be praying people. Pray in the morning. Pray in the afternoon. Pray in the evening. As you're driving. I know it's a hard discipline. I understand it. I'm always amazed. I mean, how I can go through a day sometimes, come to the end and go, man, did I pray? I guess I kind of did my little devotion this morning. That's the role of Spirit can be in us too. We can ask for that, folks. We can ask for it. Lord, Spirit, please speak to me today. Show me. Let me know you're real. Embrace a spiritual life now. That is what we're called to do. And then as we do these, as the Spirit empowers us, we can be this salt and light in the world that people can see. Remember the picture Jesus gave us? You're the salt of the world. Salt of the earth. But if it's not salty, what good is it, right? Well, the light of the world. But you don't take a light and put it in a bowl. No, you put it on a stand. It gives light to everyone in the house. And then what follows that? What's the whole purpose of the picture? In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven. That's the gospel. That's the good news, folks. We're doing good because of the Father, what He's done for us. And in doing those good deeds, when people see that, the Spirit then convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment. And all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's a wonderful promise. The most powerful proclamation of the gospel is your changed life. Your life. You are a beacon in darkness. That's what people see. People that see the Holy Spirit, they may see God. They see you. They see what you're doing. They see that you act differently. They see that you respond differently. When most people would be selfish and hoard, we're free to give. We're not worried about being poor. We're not worried about it. They see us. That is the gospel. And the Holy Spirit that will do His work as He's promised. My hope and prayer for you, for me, for this church, is to more and more and more, in some ways, tap into that spiritual reality. That the Holy Spirit is real. And that if you bend your knee, if you have believed in Jesus, that He's literally in you, working, convicting, helping. That whatever questions you may have, whatever doubts you may have, the Spirit is real and there. I pray that the Spirit would infuse our worship here together. That we sing these songs together, that in some way, God will touch our hearts and encourage us. That is the power of the Spirit. And we pray that God would work in us in that way. Let's pray together now. Father God, thank you for sending your Spirit. And oh Heavenly Father, I pray in accordance with your will, Lord, and by your Spirit, that you would empower us as your people. That young and old, that we would together embrace you and embrace the reality and the power of your Spirit to help us and to proclaim your gospel to this world. To show that the kingdom of God is here and come and is growing. Help us, Lord, to live in an acute awareness of your Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Oh, Heavenly Father, by your Spirit, amen. Amen. Go in the power of the Spirit this week.